All together.
You are God. You are God. And all He. And shine.
Thank you, Lord, that you pre-exist everything there is. You know all things. You see all things. Nothing is new to you. For you are aware of the past, the present, the future. And before there was a past, you were our true God. And Lord, O God, our reliance, O God, is on you. The God who sees all things, knows all things, is present in every setting there is, and well able to fix whatever needs to be fixed. There is nothing you cannot correct, nothing you cannot fix if we rest in you. And so, Lord, O God, we ask tonight, grant us the grace to rest in your presence and be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to have you all here this wonderful evening, a day that the Lord God Almighty has made for you and I to rejoice and be glad. I want you to reflect on this particular thought this evening. That God is not limited to time in whatever variations time might be. He's everywhere present. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. And as true as all of those statements are, that God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, that without us applying the reality of what that means, we don't gain the benefit of it. If you're thirsty and there's water around you that can quench your thirst, if you don't drink it, you stay dehydrated and you'll die, because you've not engaged that water. The truth that we know about God, the awesomeness of God, means nothing, absolutely nothing, in real terms, if that truth is not applied. You can know all kinds of things about God and not know God. And when we come to the house of the Lord and come to church, we hear the word of the Lord. That word does us no good until we apply it. Is the truth applied that gives you results? Amen? Truth applied that gives results. Truth as it might be unapplied gives no results. Absolutely none. If you don't apply the truth of the Word of God, it gives you no results. You can complain all you want, cry all you want, but because you did not apply the truth, nothing. Let me put it this way. You're hungry. You're at a banquet table. There's all kinds of food. It's a buffet. And you elect not to engage, not to eat, not to drink. You're going to die hungry. But let's assume for a moment that you went some distance and you took some of that food and put it in your mouth. But you did not chew. You did not swallow. Everybody saw you put the food in your mouth. But you didn't chew. You didn't swallow. Will your hunger be fed? Will it be addressed? No. You're closer, but still close is not good enough. I know in this natural world we think in terms of close enough, but in the economy of the things of the Spirit, close enough is not good enough. In fact, the word sin means to miss the target. When you don't hit the target, that's sin. Hamartia. You didn't hit the target. And it says, sin. So, living sinless is hitting the target. Allowing the Word of God to hit the target. How do we do that? By believing what God says, more than what my natural eye sees. By accepting what God says, and recognizing that the God we serve is an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God. And if he's that and he's not limited in time, this is a powerful truth to consider. That God is present in my past. God is present in my future. And God is present in my now. God is present in my past, my now, my future. So whatever needs to be fixed in my past, even though I've gone past the past of a rape, the past of some drug addiction, the past of abuse, the past of whatever it is that happened, that God is still there and can fix it because I believe him and trust him to fix whatever it is that is plaguing me now or may plague me in the future. Somebody shout hallelujah. He's in all dimensions. And he can fix anything. He's not limited to what happened now. Oh, this just happened now. And God says, I know it just happened now, but I see the roots of it. So today, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we will declare the word of the Lord. When he said, whatever it is my Father has not planted shall be rooted out. So we declare today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that whatever it is that is plaguing my life this day is rooted out by the authority of the Word of God. Amen? This morning we went through an expression of faith where we spoke very specifically and directly to particular mountains. We addressed, for example, the mountain of poverty or fear or depression or suicide or whatever else. And on the screen, you could see the picture of whatever mountain we were addressing. The mountain of poverty. We establish the truth of the Word of God that God hates poverty, He hates lack. He doesn't want that for me. Hallelujah. The first thing that the anointing of Jesus Christ was applied to in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." God wants to destroy the stronghold of poverty because poverty came as a result of man failing and sinning, being driven away from the abundance that God had for him. God hates it. But if I don't apply that truth, guess what will happen? I'll be poor. But when I take a hold of that truth of the Word of God and recognize God does not want poverty in my life. And strangely enough, there are religions, even the Christian faith, where they train their leaders to take the oath of poverty. God forbid. You know, back home in Nigeria, we'll do something like this. Not on me. Praise the Lord. That is not the Word of God. But the world will want to put it on you. And if your thinking is embedded in that nonsense, that becomes your reality. For the Word of God says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So my mind needs to be renewed to the authority of the Word of God. What does God say? Last week we asked this question. It was a very direct question. Jesus was asking his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" What are they saying? And he said, some say that you're Jeremiah, some say you're Isaiah, some say you're one of the prophets. And he switches the question and says, "But who do you say that I am?" And I remember when the Lord gave me that word for us last Sunday, He switched it on me. He said, "Who do people say that you are?" You know, "Oh, he's a good guy. Oh, he's a drug addict. Oh, he's crazy. That guy's dumb. That guy, oh, that one, you know, his entire family is just a mess." Because sometimes you can be known by your problem and described by your problem, defined by it. And he went on and says, "But who do you say that you are in me?" Are you aligning yourself with what the world says about you? Or are you aligning yourself with what I say about you? And we went through a whole list of things that we are. We are the light. We are the salt. We are ambassadors. We are righteous. We are all the things God said. Because it's all that God says that you believe and receive that you become. You become what God says. A new creation. That's who I am. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm one who is reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm a partaker of God's divine nature. That is who I am. And no matter what my circumstance is trying to say, I must not join in agreement with what my circumstance is trying to postulate, push on me. I must take a hold of what God is saying. God says, I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm the temple of God. God lives in here. And therefore, this house cannot be polluted. It's not going to be polluted by pornography. It's not going to be polluted by drugs. It's not going to be polluted by alcohol. It's not going to be polluted by the evil words of men. I reject anything that will cause this body to be less than what it should be. This temple of God is not a temple for cancer. It is not a temple for high blood pressure. It's not a temple for diabetes. It's not a temple for any kind of disease. I am a child of the Most High God. And as one born again of the Spirit of God, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. You take a hold of what God says. Not the lies of the enemy. The devil is a liar. But he cannot lie to you because you have the Spirit of God's discernment in you. Hallelujah. He can lie to fools who do not know their God. But to me who knows my God, I will not be exploited. For the people who know their God, they are mighty, they are great, and they do the exploiting. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe what God says. I receive what God has declared over me. And so, those mountains must move. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The mountain of confusion, it must move. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ talked about mountains moving, if you have God's kind of faith, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. In another passage, he says, if you have the God kind of faith, you shall say unto this sycamore tree. That is something that is planted. God did not plant this. It's got to move and be cast into the sea. Now, for those of you who are not here this morning, I encourage you to go online and listen to the word of the Lord. But to prime you ready, I'm going to go through one of those mountains right now as I proceed further into the word that the Lord has for us tonight. Whatever the mountain is, he says, you can say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. So let us take the mountain of poverty. Let's go back to the mountain of poverty. This is not what God has for you. But I want you to shout it out loud and clear from the depths of your being. When you see the words move, you're going to speak it out and you're going to command that spirit of poverty to do what it must now do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Are you ready? Move! Shout it again. Move! Be cast into the sea. Amen? Hallelujah. That sycamine tree, whatever it is God has not planted, must move out of your life. Married to problems, move out of my life. Hallelujah. Children that are going in the wrong path, Whatever it is that is messing your life up, move out. We refuse to give license to the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, the enemy always tries and keeps on trying. If there is a spirit that is tenacious, it's the spirit of the enemy. Faith is not positive thinking. Say that with me. Faith is not positive thinking. Faith is positive, but it's not positive thinking. Let me say something to you. One of the most positive of entities is the devil. The devil is very, very positive. But he keeps on losing. He's positive to the extent that he is put in jail. For 1,000 years, he's brought out of jail. God has shown him, you're not a match for me. I'm going to give you 1,000 years so you can change your mind, okay? And partly why God set up the millennium is because the devil, by leading man to sin, became the federal head of man. Just like Adam was our federal head, and because Adam sinned, we were all counted as sinners. And Jesus came and became our federal head, and because Jesus came and became our federal head, we became all righteous. We're now declared righteous. And the plan of God, so that God is never faulted, he put that sucker in the pit for 1,000 years, so that if he comes out and says, "I repent, I'm so wrong, I repent," everybody that was attached to him, being the federal head over them, every one of them will be sprung out of not hell. See, the real issue, you know, we preach about hell all the time, huh? But the real issue is not hell. Hell is just like paradise, a holding tank. The real issue is the lake of fire that the devil and all his cohorts are going to be thrown into. But the devil comes out, and what does he do? He's paroled. And what does he do? He comes out doing the exact same thing. Why? He thinks that he can. But people have had 1,000 years of the godly, amazing reign of God. But see, he still was able to convince people to turn against God. Huh? That is the height of being positive. I believe in me. I can. If you are living in the world of "I believe in me, I can, you are the devil's child. Let me tell you that. Now you say, that's very strong, Pastor. That's very strong. No, you have placed yourself under him. The "I can" that we as believers have coming forth out of our mouths is that "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," not me in my own positive thinking. I've seen a lot of people with their positive thinking, and at the end of their lives, there was nothing to show for it. Because positive thinking is not faith. Faith is the word of God activated and doing for you what you cannot do. It's the activity of God's power. Hallelujah. And the enemy will always challenge it. So no surprise that in the book of Acts, the 28th chapter, God had spoken to Paul very early in his call, in the 9th or 10th chapter of the book of Acts, about how he was going to represent him. He was going to see Caesar. You're going to speak for me where Caesar is. Now, Paul, he's been told by God, the prophets of God, male and female, don't go to Jerusalem. Because the person who has this belt, whoever this person is, whoever owns this belt, you're going to be put in bondage. And Paul says, I'm going. I don't care, I'm going. By the time he gets there, when trouble hits, he's collapsing. Whatever it is that he believed in, he's beginning to do things that are not in alignment. Anyway, he's in such a mess. He's dragged before leadership. And the Bible says that while he was in that setting, because God did not mean for him to go through all the troubles that he was going to go through. God said, you're going to represent me, you're going to speak to Caesar. That's what God said. But Paul is in the law court, going through all the stuff that he was going through, being accused, and his name is going to be cleared. He's going to be freed. But fear, Mr. I'm not afraid of anything, says, I appeal to Caesar. And I says, now that you appeal to Caesar, you're going to have to go. So he's put with all bunch of people and he's heading to Rome. A storm comes in, a typhoon, and batters them. They have a reprieve. Weather is good. They dock for a few days. And then they decide, you know what, this where we docked now is not conducive for the winter. This place is not a place where you winterize or dock your ship because it's not prepped ready to help ships. Paul hears from God, tells them, listen, you guys do not move because there's danger ahead. But the place is not conducive. The sailor or the captain of the ship is believed by the centurion more than what Paul has to say. Have you ever navigated or captained a boat or ship before? No, I'm a preacher. Well, we can't go with your experience because you have no experience here. If he was a Peter who said, you know, I'm a fisherman, and then maybe we would have considered. But anyway, they get in, and this typhoon hits them, or bad storm hits them, until they are in a serious mess. And the message is rather interesting. I'm going to spend some more time on this particular passage. chapter 27, because they are just about 20 furlongs away from land. And 20 furlongs is not a great distance. But what we see is that somehow, even though they were close to land, they are thrown back into the storm of life. They've not eaten, they've not drunk, they've not anything. Everybody, they lost hope, Bible says, to live. But an angel of the Lord showed up and tells Paul, you know what? You are not going to die, and no one with you is going to die. You'll be fine. Just tell them not to do any messing around. Nobody should get off of this ship. It follows through. They keep on believing him. They disbelieved him before. Now they begin to believe him. And they get to land, to an island called Melita in chapter 28. And they are there in the island of Melita. And Melita means honey. Sweet. Paul begins to serve the people. He goes and he gets wood, and the people, the Bible says they were barbarians in this island. And these barbarians were very kind. They were helpful. And Paul goes and is gathering some wood to put it into a fire. The Bible says, out of that fire, a viper, a very dangerous serpent, comes out of the heat, fastens his hand itself on the hand of Paul. And verse 4 says, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer. Wow. Is that true? Yes. In his past, he was a murderer. In fact, he is called to be part of the family of God while he was going into another country to go kill believers. They said, he's a murderer whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered doesn't allow him to live. That was a true statement, but it was not the truth. So many of us allow our past to speak into our present because of some trouble that we're going through presently. Oh, yes. Yes, you're having all this problem. You remember? You aborted a child. That's why you're having this problem now. Yes, I aborted a child. Yes. But there is a God who forgave me, cleansed me, redeemed me, sanctified me, and made me a new creation. That was my past. And God has already addressed that past. I'm a new person. Hallelujah. Well, the reason you are having these mental issues, mental problems, is because of those drugs that you've been taking or you took. Yes, I was a druggie. Yes, but that's no longer my life. Here comes this venomous snake and wraps itself, and the people are already proclaiming a judgment. Who do people say that you are? But there is a Paul who knows now who he is. He's having an encounter with the angel of the Lord. He is not disregarding what God said anymore. Because there was a part of his life while he is this great mighty man of God, when he disregarded what God was saying. God sent prophets. He disregarded what they had to say. He knew they were speaking the truth, but I can handle it. Okay, now, Mr. I can handle it. Let's see what you can do. But by this time, when he has realigned himself to God, and my prayer is that every one of us, we realign ourselves with who God is and what God has already spoken, and recognize that if God be for me, who can be against me? Somebody shout hallelujah. What are you holding on to? What lies? Because whatever lie you're holding on to is what is running your life right this very moment. The accusations of the enemy many times are founded on certain kind of facts. His lies are not necessarily altogether black lies. What I mean by that is he's saying something and accusing you of something, and there's no element of truth somewhere in the mix of whatever it is that he's saying. That's why lies are effective. If I come to you right now and I say to you, that is the moon. See it? See the sky? This is the sky. It's a blue sky. And that's the moon. Will you believe that? It's very obvious that's not the truth. You understand what I mean? But what if I put some virtual stuff on your face? That pretends to be whatever it is. It's not real. But something is coming after you or coming towards you, you're going to start ducking. And, but it's not real. It's just the goggles I've put on your face that's making you feel like that which is happening is the real thing. You just been pulled into a virtual world that is not the truth. You get it? And so many times we allow the devil to give us a virtual stuff, and he is busy writing the story. He puts the script together and we are moving, ducking, running, all hypered by whatever it is. It looks so real, but it's not the truth. All my marriage is destroyed. That's what the enemy says, but it is not the truth. I'm a dummy. Well, because I flunked this course and I flunked that course and I flunked that course, I must be a dummy. It's a lie. There's so many people that flunked in their early days, and the teacher said, you will never amount to anything. And today, they are the smartest ones walking around because they refuse to believe the lie. That's not me. Somebody came alongside of them and said, let's try this. Let's try that. Let's do this. Let's do that. What you believe and hold on to is controlling your present perceptions of life. What does Paul do? That serpent that came and wrapped itself around his hand, he shook it back to the hell that it came out of. Hallelujah. He says, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Hallelujah. I want you to rise with me for a moment. Whatever it is that the enemy has brought into your life that's attached itself to you, that people are already proclaiming your demise because of it, this very moment, in the mighty name of Jesus, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. Shake it back. Let it go to the hell that it came from. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that is not my portion. Hallelujah. That's not my portion. I don't care where you came from. I just know that I belong to the Most High God, and the God who is for me and not against me is my keeper. He's my redeemer. He's my deliverer. He's my peace. He's my joy. And in his name, I will stand strong all the days of my life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. He shook it back. You don't belong on my arm. Get back where you came from. Get back in Jesus' name. You came out of that heat. Back. Get off. That's right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He shook the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Oh, what the Bible says. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen. You may be seated. It didn't say because he was beaten. This was such a venomous viper that just the contact with it was harmful. So they were watching. If he was going to drop dead, they were watching if the venom would go through his circulatory system, attack his heart, or his blood begins to collapse and whatever else. They were expecting him to be swollen or expecting him to fall down dead suddenly. And they kept on waiting. And they waited. And kept on waiting and watching and watching. What's going on? The guy is not dying. the guy is busy joking around, laughing and playing with people. What's going on? Why is he not dead? Then, he says, but after they had looked a great while, and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. Hallelujah. They what? Changed their minds. They changed their minds and came into agreement with what God says about Paul. Because Paul did not align himself with their words. They joined Paul to agree with the words of God. And they said, wow, he must be a god. From a murderer to a god. Oh, come on. Make up your mind. Is he a murderer? Or is he a god? They decide he's not dying. He must be a god. So in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, in the same quarters, were possessions. What was the enemy trying to stop Paul from getting? Part of that, because that was God already providing for him for his trip to Rome. The devil wanted to make God a liar, to make certain that Paul never arrives in Rome. And if you're going to arrive there, you cannot be resourced. But the Bible takes time to say, in the same quarters, in the same place, in the same environment, where the enemy came and wrapped himself around his hand. And why the hand? Well, because God says, whatever you lay your hands to do will be blessed. What do? When things are not going well, we come into agreement with the enemy and say, oh, life is tough. Things are really hard. My finances are going under. And keep on saying that. And guess what you get? Your finances is going under. Because that's what you're agreeing with. Or you can say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. Hallelujah. God is my provider. Shake. Oh, you'll not be able to pay your bills. Well, the Lord has taken on every bill and nailed it to the cross. And has come forth triumphant and has given me the triumph, the victory of his presence. All of my needs are met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm not going under, I am going over. I am head and not tail, above only and not beneath. God has chosen me. I'm the chosen of the Lord. I am like the wind. You don't know where it's coming and where it's going, but you're going to see the impact of it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That which is born from above is above all. Praise God. Now, God will show me what to do and how to handle different things. But I want you to know that when the enemy is wrapping himself around your hand, you have the authority in the Word of God to shake that serpent off. Because that serpent is what brought poverty to Adam and Eve. They were moved away from their abundance into a land of thorns and thistles, a ground that will not produce because of the serpent. Are you with me? Shake it off. I don't know how we're going to get out of this mess. It is not for you to know every detail. It suffices that God knows every detail. And therefore, I don't need to worry about it. Hallelujah. One of us got to go to sleep. And if God is not going to go to sleep, I'm going to go to sleep. Hallelujah. Let him do the watching. Why am I staying awake worrying? If he has white hair, that does not mean I have to worry and start having white hair too. Come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is somebody hearing? Shake that off. Shook it off, they're waiting. And in that same area, in the same quarters, were great possessions. Verse 7, as I begin to wrap.
The man who owned it was a man called Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux. So the father of Publius is sick. The Bible says, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass that the father of Publius, the word Publius means popular. Paul lays hands on the father, and the man is healed. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came, and they were healed. What is God doing? God chose the popular guy, chose where problems were going to hit Paul, because God had a mind of resourcing Paul. The incidents and the circumstances that face us, while we may think, okay, this is out of place, God knows how to bring you to the right quarter. Amen? Praise the Lord. I remember many years ago, I was actually sharing this testimony with somebody. Right at the corner of Maine and Redwood, where the Shoppers Drug Mart is now, there used to be a gas station. How many of you remember that? Okay, a few people remember. Now, that's a long time ago. And I was driving and ran out of gas right in front, about maybe 20 yards away from the gas station. My car just died. What's going on? Then I saw, I ran out of gas. I was at the right place. If I had run out of gas 2 miles away, because there are no other gas stations anywhere close by. So I went, I got the jerry can, put some gas in the car, went to the vehicle, poured the gas into the tank, and then I went to start the car. And boom, start. I tried and I tried. It won't start. Here comes this native guy. He says, what's wrong? I said, I ran out of gas. I put gas in the gas tank and still it won't start. Do I need to put more gas? He said, no. Where's your gas, the jerry can? Is there any gas still left in there? I said, I don't know. Maybe there might be some. He says, pop your hood. I popped the hood and he unscrews my carburetor. Some of you don't know what a carburetor is. too young to know what a carburetor is. So the guy opens up the carburetor. This is a big engine. And he shook some gas out of the gas tank into the carburetor. And then he says, start the car. The car started. I said, what is that? He said, you needed to prime it. Prime it. It dawned on me, that's what we did back home. We had water wells and tanks up, you know, and when water was shut out, we will prime the pump. And then water will go up into those tanks. Your tank may feel empty. And the word of God has been poured into your gas tank. But it's necessary to prime your system right now. Amen? Hallelujah. Go and read the rest of the book of Acts 28. Actually, I encourage you to read chapter 27 and 28 together. But we're going to prime the system right now. Are you ready? Okay, rise with me. You got that right. This is how we're going to prime the system. We're going to speak the language of heaven right now. Hallelujah. It's such a powerful word that in every language on the planet, bar none, this is the word. It is our priming word. I'm going to declare it seven times as a sign of completion, and then we're going to declare it one more time as a sign of new beginning. Amen? Amen. We're going to go seven times and then one big one time. Praise God. Amen? You say, what is the word that we're going to use to prime? The word is the word hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Are you ready to get your spirit primed for the greater purposes of God? Step into a destiny that the enemy is trying to stop but cannot stop, because greater he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen? Hallelujah. You ready? One. Hallelujah. 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 Now for the new beginning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Prime to go. Glory to God. Amen. It's been a joy sharing the word of God with you tonight. And I know that God has great things in store for you. And you are going to impact not only your life, but the lives of many, locally and globally, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I encourage you to please go back to the word of God that we shared this morning. Participate in what we declared and decreed by the authority of the word of God. And then listen again to the word of the Lord this evening. Amen. And continue to be strengthened in your inner man in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. This time, let us honor God with our giving. Word of God says to us that He is a God who multiplies our seed sown. May the seed of faith that you release from your hand today be matched with the favor of God. Always, always set your mind to give something whenever you come into the house of God. If you train yourself not to give, you receive nothing. what you believe in when you've received the word of God is you honor God with thanksgiving. Not just with your words, and that is important, but with that which you release from your hands, because that is the seed that God multiplies. He multiplies your seed sown. When you give, recognize that it's a seed that you are sowing, and ask God to water it and increase it so that you are blessed and you are a blessing. Amen? The Word of God says, he who sows sparingly reaps also sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. The Lord said something to me tonight while I was getting my offering in place. He said, I asked you for a minimum. This is what I want you to give as a minimum every service. And since when God asked me to do that, and has nothing to do with my income, it's way beyond what I should give. The remarkable thing is, since they asked me to give that, I have not lacked the capacity to give it. I always have it. Somehow it comes into my hand. One way or the other, I always have it. But he said something to me today. He said, I asked you for a minimum. I didn't say for you to stay there. I said, you want more? He said, I'm not asking you for more, but you don't have to stay with the minimum. Oh, yikes. He says, if you stick with this minimum, the enemy will know how much you always give. Don't surprise yourself and surprise the enemy so that he doesn't ever know what you're going to do, ever. I say, I hear it, Lord, but can we do it tomorrow, some other time? And while I was speaking here, just a moment said, remember what I told you then? So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give again. Why? I believe the word of God. Amen? I believe it. This is the word of God. Break that backbone of the enemy and take the limits off of yourself and off of God. Amen? In your giving. Or else you get stuck. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I look forward to seeing you for another time together in the study of God's word. We're studying through the book of Proverbs. We're in the third chapter now, and there is more that God wants to do in us and with us. Amen? So let's do that. Aware. All right? See you on Wednesday, and then we'll see you on Friday for a prayer meeting.
The future.
Be blessed and be highly favored of God, and may God's goodness, his favor, his peace follow you all the days of your life, that you've been blessed will continually be a blessing. Amen. God bless you, and good night.